Christian greetings, everyone, to this week's Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. The website is www.remnantofgod.org. This broadcast is going throughout the nation on both AM and FM radio frequencies, as well as many micro-broadcasters across America. It is also being broadcast across the globe on both satellite and internet and radio, so if you're using satellite, we can be found on Galaxy 13, Transponder 16, Audio 7.70. If you want to listen online, you can just go to firstamendmentradio.com and click the listen button on the left side of the screen. If you need any additional information as to what AM and FM frequencies to tune into, please stop by the website and click the antique radios on my main page at remnantofgod.org. The phone number to call in is 1-800-858-6582. If you have any an unlimited long-distance phone service like most people are getting nowadays, because the cell phone companies are in competition with the landlines, or if you're actually just using a cell phone that already has the free long distance, call 559-733-5161. If you're listening to the broadcast online at firstamendmentradio.com using dial-up and don't have access to a second phone at this time to call in the show, I invite you to join me at on the website. Once there, click that silver microphone you see on the main page. It'll bring you to the public room of the audio chat section of the website, the POGM audio chat. That's Presence of God Ministry audio chat. I would like to thank all of you listening again for all the kind emails and phone calls. There were some bad ones, but hey, what can you do? I do appreciate them, as they do in fact bring up some very important points, which I will be sharing often. So thanks again for all your emails and phone calls. And yes, there will soon be CDs of this broadcast and all of these broadcasts available online. For now, you can just listen to them on the website using Real Media, or if you want, you can download them for free. They're in MP3 format, too. Underneath each player, there's a little click you can hit to get the broadcast in MP3 format. But if you don't want to go through all that hassle and burning your own CDs and stuff like that, I will be putting them all on one CD for those that want to use MP3. But if you want to have them play on a regular CD player, they will be in wave format, which means I can only get one on each CD, which is kind of a hassle. But that's neither here nor there, so let's get right to it. Some of you listening may not be aware that the Mark of the Beast, or Sunday Laws, as we've discussed a few weeks ago with author and pastor Robert Sessler, has been gaining newfound strength throughout the world. Ever since 1888, there has been a continual push. Now, I'm quoting, of course. This is from Brownfield versus Brown, Section 366 of U.S. 599 in the 1961 edition of Dateline Sunday, page 42, by Warren Johns. It's some court case or some statement made in a court. It says, ever since 1888, there has been a continual push for Sunday to be the official day of rest, especially in 1961, when the Supreme Court Chief Justice Warren Recesses upheld Sunday laws as being constitutional in the United States. Also, from Justice William O. Douglas, under the Maryland Supreme Court of the United States, again in Section 366, instead this is in page 420, I guess, on May 29, 1961, this is what they decided. It seems to be plain that by these laws, the states compel one under the sanction of law to refrain from work or recreation on Sunday because of the majority's views on that day. The state, by law, makes Sunday a symbol of respect or adherence. Making special note that this did in fact happen, it was in 1961 that the Supreme Court ruled in favor of a national Sunday law, should be of interest to some, because 1961 is when the very first Roman Catholic president ever elected was in office, John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Since that declaration and enforcement of blue laws in the U.S. government, we have seen all government agencies closed on Sundays since that date. Sure, some may suggest that this is no big deal, but the fact of the matter is, it's the United States government that is suggesting a so-called Christian doctrine to become an enforceable law of the land. The U.S. government is not a church, yet it is in fact speaking as one in Rome speaks. This is a prophetic event most students of prophecy to this day ignore, and rightly so, for it never was enforced on the American people at that time. However, those days are now gone. The thing is, the government will eventually start to suggest its doctrinal desires on the general public very soon. In fact, it's already starting in many areas as we speak. Some states already have on the books Sunday laws that restrict buying and selling on that day. In my Mark of the Beast about to be enforced page, in the warnings section of the website, that's at remnantofgod.org, I share the documentation that proves as of January 1st, 1999, it was against the law to work on Sundays without a work permit in Rhode Island, USA. And I do have the click to the link to the Rhode Island House of Representatives website on that page where you can read the wording of the law yourself. If you don't have a work permit, you cannot work on that day. Whether it's being enforced or not, who knows? I don't live in Rhode Island. All I know is it's law. And it's not just Rhode Island anymore. Almost every state in the union has a mayor in office that has placed plaques on City Hall declaring no buying and selling in their municipality will be tolerated on Sundays. Even some rural areas won't allow hunting on Sundays, as is apparent by the signs that are pictured all, you know, outside Barrowsville Community Park in West Virginia. The Herald Dispatch posted the many pictures in regards to that in an article about Sunday hunting back in October of 2002. And yes, I do have the entire article for that on my, and as well as hundreds more on my Attacking Sabbath page in the warnings section of the website. Just about every small town I've ever been in lately throughout the Midwest will not allow alcohol, in fact, to be sold on Sundays in their local stores. Check it out. And I'm talking real small towns. And, well, some of the bigger municipalities do it too, but mostly all these little, you know, like 600 people and less or 1,000 people and less kind of towns. But check it out the next time you stop in some small town on Sunday. Go to their local convenience mart in the Midwest. A store called Casey's is in almost every small town that has a main road nearby that refuses beer, wine, and liquor sales on Sundays nationwide. They rely heavily on the truckers using the roads as well as the people in the small towns that frequent the store often because that's all there is for the bare necessities for many miles in most cases. If you go to the back of the store where they sell the water or the soft drinks or the beer and the wine, you'll notice over the windows, like you got these little doors that open up, they got these like leather-looking banners that say closed on Sundays just for those two or three doors to prevent you from buying beer. And if you open those doors, a buzzer will go off over at the front to alert the clerk. I used to sell new cars many years ago. Back in the 80s, it became law in Illinois that all new car dealers must be closed on Sundays. Since then, many more states have opted to follow their lead. I'm not sure that it was Illinois that started it. It's just I happened to be living in Illinois at the time, and I was selling cars. So, but the excuse given was people wanted to be able to check out the new cars without being bothered by some high-pressure salesman at least one day a week. So they picked Sundays. The problem with that lie is this. Go now to most new car lots today, and you will find all the cars are locked up in showrooms on Sundays or behind a 12-foot fence with barbed wire where it would be illegal to trespass to check out the cars. Sure, there's a few that have no fences, but they're realizing the advantages to having those fences. If the people can't get to the car on Sunday to view it, they will come back the other 6 days of the week to look at them. So the law was a failure on both ends. Its only goal was to have more and more of the private sector going along with the Sunday laws, and so they have. So how long has this been going on? Right around the beginning of the end times, we see things happening. Those of us that know about certain dates will find this date rather enlightening. The previous articles spoke of it, and now we see this coming to be at this time. And it's not the exact year for the finalization of the 2300-year prophecy of Daniel, but it is a date many have found to be significant, to say the least. Is there a connection? You tell me. I get this from, this quote is from, it's a copy of a proclamation by the governor of the state of Georgia, signed and sealed on January 25th, 1889, by Governor Joe Frank Harris. It says this, "The Lord's Day Alliance of the United States was founded in 1888. to maintain and promote the Sabbath of Sunday as a day of rest, worship, Christian education, and spiritual renewal. I, Joe Frank Harris, Governor of the State of Georgia, do hereby proclaim that the day of February 12, 1989, Sunday, as a special day for the Lord's Day Alliance of the United States, as they celebrate their 101st anniversary, and for placing emphasis on the importance of observing Sunday as the Lord's Day. Now, many will scream loudly that this is a violation of church and state, but their arguments will be considered trivial and disregarded because the Sunday laws Kennedy placed on the military and government agencies have already been allowed by Congress long ago. So, with that legal fact already in place, they cannot say it's a violation anymore, as it is a reality. The government's already been sanctioning closing on Sundays by law anyway, so you should have started yelping years ago, is what they're going to probably say to you. All the government needs to do now is rally the people to agree with them on this, and things will move smoother. Well, are they doing it? Harold Linzall, editor of Christianity Today, May 7, 1976, said this: all businesses, including gasoline stations and restaurants, should close every Sunday by force or by force of legislative fiat through the duly elected officials of the people. You know, this so-called Christian voice in the country and many other countries has already been compromised. They are merely mouthpieces for the government officials now. Look around, and you will see many Christian businesses closed on Sundays. Some have even gone so far as to have special signs created and placed on their doors letting people know they agree with the government on this. I've seen them. Have you? I recall when I was living up near Chicago, there was this hobby shop in Oak Lawn, Illinois, about 20 years ago. And I used to go there all the time to buy art supplies because I'm an artist. On one Sunday, I noticed they were suddenly closed, and there was a sign on the window stating something to this effect. It said, well, we are closed so as to worship our Lord and be with our families on this Lord's Day. So some of these Christians have gone even so far as to suggest making those that break Sunday laws criminals. Notice this headline of this article back in 1998. This comes out of the Daily Independent, April 11th, 1998. Under an article by called On the Issues of Belief, there was a bold statement bolded out in the article which said this: if we believe religion is true, we should be reintroducing a criminal penalty for those who fail to attend church on Sunday. On my Attacking Sabbath page in the warnings section of the website, I have literally hundreds of articles about this topic. The main reason I posted all these articles was to make those that say there will be no such laws, therefore the prophecy is bogus, aware that it's happening, as we already warned. How can it be bogus, I ask, when first of all, it is a Christian prophecy, and second of all, if it were a lie, why is it they are doing exactly as the prophecy said they would? I implore you to take a look at those articles, and seeing how there are so many, give the page time to load. It's huge. Even if you're a broadband user, it's going to take you a little time to get it in because there's a lot of articles on that page. So, the main reason for this broadcast, what got me to a position where I wanted to report on this, is something that came across my desk about a week, maybe 10 days ago. Something's going to happen on September 15th, 2004 that leads right into this. It's yet another country that's going to enforce Sunday laws. Headline: lawmakers put an end to Sunday shopping. The National Assembly has voted in favor of legislative changes that demand the closure of shops on Sundays. The lawmakers decided unanimously with 63 votes to implement the will of the Slovenian voters, who decided at a referendum last September that shops should be closed on Sunday, bar a few exceptions. By adopting the bill of changes to the Trading Act, the National Assembly set down that as of 15 September, shops have to be closed on Sunday. Shops with essential food products are an exception, as they will be permitted to be open 10 days or 10 Sundays a year. Moreover, There will be no limits for shops at petrol stations or hospitals or hotels or airports or border crossings or trains and bus stations of areas not exceeding, of course, 80 square meters. I got this out of the Slovenian Press Agency, STA, and I have the entire article on the site, of course. But, you know, besides the obvious that the government of this region sees no wrong in implementing the will of the voters, can you see the obviously satanic flavor of their hypocrisy? They say shops must be closed on Sundays, yet certain shops will be allowed to stay open 10 Sundays a year. And the agencies that bring in large amounts of tax dollars to the governing officials will be allowed to stay open year-round. It's no wonder not bringing Christianity or religion into this. They're going to try and do the thing that they've always done, which we'll get into in a minute, regarding as to why they feel they can do these things. I mean, isn't this always the case with Roman Catholic laws? They say they are a necessity, but when it conflicts with their desires to make money, they allow for certain options or opportunities. Take, for example, the so-called law of the church, the Roman Catholic Church, that is, that says no meat on Fridays during Lent. First of all, you're not going to find that in scriptures, but anyway, they claim that you cannot eat meat on Fridays during Lent. This, of course, generated a bit of a problem for all the alcoholics in New York's Manhattan and Bronx areas when they wanted to go ahead and eat meat on Friday because it was St. Paddy's Day. The church figured it was unfortunate their traditions of eating corned beef and drinking green beer clashed on that day, and so they let them do what they usually defined as sin. They gave a special dispensation for that area, for that day. How convenient. I mean, no wonder Catholicism is so popular. Where else can you find a church that lets you sin and you can still gain heaven? Kind of sounds like those indulgences Martin Luther didn't much care for, huh? You give the Catholic Church enough money, they'll put it in writing, you're guaranteed heaven. And they are selling them, again, as of October 31st, 1999, when the Lutheran Church, well, not all the synods, but when the Lutheran Church rejoined with Rome. Funny they would pick that day. It's the day that Martin Luther put up his 95 Theses on the door. And one of the main reasons he put it up there wasn't just for sola scriptura, it was also because of the fact that they were selling indulgences. And now they're doing it again. By the way, this desire of Rome to make a national Sunday law is by no means an American problem. It's a global problem, just as prophecy stated. In the book, To Be God of One World, by author and pastor Robert Sessler, it states the following. The recognition of Sunday as an official rest day is not just taking place in America, but in the other nations of the world as well, such as England, with Seventh-day Adventist support, Australia, Canada, Puerto Rico, Jamaica, and Fiji. In fact, Germany is taking a leading role to make Sunday rest a reality in the whole European continent or community as well. And it's on chapter 12 of To Be God of One World, his book. You can also get that book on his website at Light Ministries. That's lightministries.com, L-I-G-H-T, ministries.com. And he has all the sources for each and every one of those claims regarding England, Australia, Canada, Puerto Rico, Jamaica, Fiji, and whatever. He's got them right there for you. So can anyone see a pattern here? It's like I said earlier. If the government can get the people to go along with their desires peacefully, well, they will. But if there's resistance, then the unjust laws need to be put in place. Even if it means the laws are, by definition, a mistake. Well, case in point, look at what's occurring right now in Virginia, good old U.S. of A. It seems an old law has been allowed new life, and it has some of the people a bit agitated, and for good reason when you find out about what happened back in 1610. But listen to this article. Headline, New Law Gives Virginia's Workers a Break by Accident. July 2nd, 2004, New York Times reporting. On Saturdays and Sundays, rain or shine, locals and visitors fill the restaurants, boutiques, bookstores, and coffee shops of Kerrytown, a popular residential and commercial district here. At night, restaurants bustle, and the line for the second-run movie theater wraps around the block. But thanks to an unnoticed clerical error in a new state law, some fear that could all change. Even after the bill's sponsor, Senator Frederick M. Quayle, a Republican from Chesapeake, said unequivocally that the bill was in error, the mistake has Virginia's business community reeling back to colonial times, when working on Sunday was a crime. Under the state's new day of rest law, employees in the private sector can refuse to work on Sunday or their chosen Sabbath, leaving Virginia employers to wonder how they will continue to do business on weekends. The ensuing brouhaha has the governor and attorney general at loggerheads as to who should solve the problem and how. Ms. Boshin said she feared that customers who could not get immediate service would walk out. What am I going to do? She asked. Put a sign that says lack of attention due to blue laws? The new law went into effect Thursday. Was intended to get rid of the section of the state's so-called blue laws that restricts business operations on Sundays. But when it comes to anything 400 years old, Virginians are hard-pressed to make changes. Instead of repealing blue laws, legislatures over the years have layered on legislation overriding the original intent. The code itself does not change. New legislation just creates exemptions to the old. Isn't that convenient? In other words, Virginia law still holds that businesses cannot operate on Sundays. So even though added exemptions covering retailers, movie theaters, hotels, and other businesses have made the law virtually obsolete, it's still on the books. When the new law was drafted, the section of exemptions was mistakenly left out. Businesses that operate 24/7 or 365 days in the private sector run the risk of substantial disruption, said Hugh Keogh, president and chief executive of the Virginia Chamber of Commerce. No one, from the bill's sponsors to the legislatures who passed it to the governor who signed it, noticed, conveniently I might add, that the exemptions were missing. Without the exemptions, employees have the right to refuse to work on their chosen day of rest. The mistake came to light when a labor lawyer contacted Mr. Keogh to warn him of the potential dangers of the new law. After alerting the governor's office, the Chamber of Commerce sent letters apprising its members of the possible pitfalls. When the Virginia news media began reporting the story on Wednesday, the response from local businesses was overwhelming. Well, there's a no-brainer. For now, Mr. Murtaugh said his office is referring calls to the State Department of Labor and Industry, which, barring intervention by the governor, the attorney general, or the legislature, is legally bound to live by the laws as written. Informed of the problem, Governor Mark R. Warner, a Democrat, asked Mr. Kilgore to rule on the law's constitutionality, said Ellen Quayles, the governor's spokeswoman. If the attorney general were to declare the measure unconstitutional, the governor could direct the Labor Department not to enforce it until it could be rectified by next year's General Assembly. But Mr. Kilgore, a Republican, quickly distanced himself from the issue. See, nobody wants to get into it. No one wants to actually be the one that starts the ball rolling. But anyway, continuing, the article says, if the governor has a problem with the law he signed, he should get the legislature back and fix it, Mr. Murtaugh said. The governor should know that the attorney general cannot tell people what laws should or should not be enforced. Pulling legislatures back to Richmond for a special session is not likely. This year's General Assembly met for 115 days, the longest session on record for the oldest legislative body in the Western Hemisphere, as state lawmakers wrangled with the budget. Oh, isn't that too bad? They had to work 115 days this year, and they can't work one more? So it's not going to happen. Finishing, the article says, in addition, the expense of special legislative session could cost the already beleaguered state budgets as much as $100,000 a day. There you have it. It's because of the money. Again, I know it's just a test. We know it's a test. I mean, they've already done it in Rhode Island. And if you think it's a mistake in Virginia, well, then I got some swampland out in Florida I'd like for you to check out. Even a bridge in London. It's kind of falling down a little, but hey, it's up for sale. By the way, on the New York Times website, where they posted this story, you will find at the end of the article a list of similar topics to surf to, as they do on most, you know, news sites. You know, there's all topics of interest that reflect directly with the article you're reading here. However, all of them were advocating Sunday as Sabbath, and one of them is a link to a ministry that actually targets ex-Seventh-day Adventists as a missionary field to bring them back to Sunday worship. I thought that was pretty obvious. I mean, don't you? I mean, if you want to check it out, just hold on a second here. Just email me. Because the URL to this thing is, like with most news sites, it's huge URL. You know, it's a big link. So just send me an email through the website, www.remnantofgod.org. When you get there, go to the top right corner. You'll see a little click that says Contact Us. Just click that and then send me a little note, and I'll send you the link. Not a problem. But I'm not going to read the link here. It'd take forever to get through it. So, what law are they talking about that's 400 years old? And why would such a law like this get the people in an uproar? I mean, why are they a little worried about something like this? Is it going to be back to the old Roman days? Well, the Bible does say that the Catholic Church will start flexing its muscles again. I mean, the beast is already active. We know about the lawsuits that are going on with Eustachy and how he the Vatican helped Hitler and all of the other situations with the child rape. And even though they're not even done with all the lawsuits regarding child rape, yes, something's going on in Austria right now where they're doing it again, and they got caught again, and sure enough, the media is, you know, keeping it quiet. And I will not. I will, you know, post it as often as possible so that most people can, you know, keep it in the open. So, but after the break, I'm going to share with you an article that was written back in 1610. What they used to do if you missed Sunday church. It's there's good reason for these people to get a little bit upset, so stay tuned. Welcome back, everybody. The website is www.remnantofgod.org. The phone number to call in is 1-800-858-6582, or if you have unlimited long distance, please use 559-733-5161. And if you are interested in a prophetic event that's happening in your lifetime and you are a student of prophecy, all the way down to the fact where you understand biblical jurisprudence regarding the symbols of prophecy, where no prophecies of any private interpretation, go to sdrvoice.org for something that is happening in your lifetime. It's happening right now. So, what law are they talking about that's 400 years old that I was mentioning before the break? To refresh in some of your memory, and for those that are just tuning in, we're talking about a law that was passed in June in Virginia that states you cannot work on Sundays, and it was done by mistake, so they say. And the people in Virginia are a little bit upset about it because they don't want to have to go back to the 1600s when certain things were happening regarding Sunday laws. And what is it they're talking about? Well, from the laws and orders divine, politique, and martial for the colony of Virginia established by Sir Gates Knight, Lieutenant General, on the 24th of May, 1610, it states this. Every man and woman shall repair in the morning to the divine service and sermons preached on the Sabbath, which is Sunday, and in the afternoon to divine service and catechizing upon the pain for the first fault, to lose their provision and the allowance for the whole week following. The allowance, of course, was like this was the beginning of the nation, and their allowance is what they lived on, and their allowance came from England. And so they needed, you know, the money or the food. It's usually just food because, that, you know, what are they going to do with money? There was nobody, nothing to buy. And anyway, but the article continues and it says, for the second fault, they will lose their said allowance again and also be whipped. And for the third offense, to suffer death. So no wonder some of the people are up in arms. They fear this could lead to major problems. And by the way, it's already September. It's almost, well, it's just a couple of days. It'll be September since this so-called mistake was made in Virginia law. Why is it the law that was put on, you know, the books back in June that everyone agrees is a mistake? How come it's still on the books? And how is it the governor, the actual sponsor of the bill, as well as every single legislator that was involved in discussing this bill before actually signing it into law, missed the mistake in writing? Don't they read what they sign? Do we all recall how the Congress admitted they never read the infamous Patriot Act? And even if they planned to, they were never given enough time to read the thousands and thousands of pages anyway? So the fact of the matter is, it does not appear to be a mistake. When that many people are involved, and all of them supposedly missed it, are we that brain dead not to see this? No. What I think happened is when the general public got wind of this law, they complained. And then the idea of a mistake was born so as to spin this one off the table for a little while. Now, I'm sorry, but I cannot be convinced that so many people could miss this mistake, especially after they supposedly discussed it in detail before signing it. I mean, come on. But then, I mean, this kind of fall to wall doesn't surprise me anyway with when you see some of the stuff that comes out of Washington, D.C. Why not out of any other kind of governmental office? I mean, just pick any topic. I mean, pick the Kennedy assassination or pick even 911. I mean, pick anything you want and you come up with the... Like, for example, with this airplane that supposedly hit the Pentagon. How does a 142 feet long, 42 feet tall, and 125 feet wide airplane make a 16-foot hole in a Pentagon building? And leave no debris, mind you. Leave no debris and put no dent in the earth where it hit. Boggles mine. But yet everybody in the media says that's what happened. Big old 757 hit it. Has any of them actually seen that ATM video clip of a cruise missile with paintings on it that made it look like American Airlines or something? I saw it. Anyway, Sunday laws are about to be enforced. In fact, as we just learned, they are already in force in many countries. And so far, two states have laws on the books as we speak, enforcing them. And all states carry the blue law that the Roman Catholic President John F. Kennedy put in place in the same year that he outlawed prayer in schools. And, you know, I always thought that was a bit comical when I first heard that. If you got tests in schools, you're going to have prayer. You can't enforce something like that. Come on. Kid bows his head. What are you going to do, smack him upside the head? How do you stop him? Oh, what are you doing, Johnny? Are you praying? Or are you just falling asleep? How do you stop a little kid from praying? Do you recall the excerpt I shared earlier from Robert Sessler's book, To Be God of One World, where he said that, and I quote, Germany is taking a leading role to make Sunday rest a reality in the whole European community? Well, it seems this is exactly what's happening right now. Headline, Germany rejects Sunday shopping. Germany's highest court has upheld the country's restrictive retail opening hours, disappointing consumers hoping to shop on Sundays and public holidays. The federal constitutional court said the principle of rest on Sundays and public holidays was sacrosanct. That's right, I said sacrosanct. The retail lobby is now expected to focus its efforts on Germany's state governments, which have most influence over trading hours regulations. But resistance to the 24-hour shopping culture remains strong in Germany, with trade unions protesting that the regulations are needed to safeguard workers' rights. Gee. Michael Sumner, head of the DGB union, welcomed the court's decision. It's a good day for shopkeepers who would like to have families, family lives that are just a little bit organized, he said. Church groups, keen to preserve Sunday as a day of rest, are also opposed to easing trading restrictions. Well, does this sound familiar? The USA is trying to say the same thing and do. I mean, they're trying to do the exact same thing as we speak. They're lobbying this stuff. They are claiming Sunday laws are needed to protect the employees. But I ask, why Sunday? You know, why not the real Sabbath? Or if that offends you, how about giving them Wednesdays off? I believe my answer is found in the strange word that they used in the start of this article. The federal constitutional court said the principle of rest on Sundays and public holidays was sacrosanct. Sacrosanct? What does that mean? I have no clue. So I looked it up. It's a Latin word, no less, meaning whatever you use it on is considered sacred or inviolable, or what that means is secure from being violated. One has to ask why the European Union's Federal Constitutional Court would be using Latin terminology. Truth is, the student of prophecy has complete understanding why the Roman Catholic pagan language of Latin is being used here. It's merely a fingerprint of Roman Catholic control. In fact, the entire European Union itself is a mini testing ground for global government under Roman dominance. Headline, Sunday as Sabbath. The European Union has set up the policy that every member state must have one day of rest during the week. But the policy explicitly states that the designated day needs to be Sunday, since for reasons of religious pluralism, a nation's government might choose another day. In Italy, the designation of Sunday as a day of rest was first set in 1993. That policy was changed in 2000. However, when in order to grant more flexibility for employers, the nation required only that every employer provide workers with a 24-hour rest period each week. But by August of 2003, under the new European policy, Italy will again be required to fix a certain day of rest. In an interview with the Daily's Corriere della Sera Bishop Giancarlo Bergantini, who heads a committee dealing with social issues for the Italian Bishops' Conference, said, how can you overlook the fact that Sunday is a special day for millions of Europeans? This is out of the Catholic World Report, February 2003. Rome is most assuredly in control here in the European continent. Everything from their blue flag for this continent, the European Union, everything from their blue flag with that circle of stars that perfectly mimic the flag you see in the pagan queen of heaven, which Rome calls the Mother of God, Mary, not the Christian Mary, not the one that really is the mother of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about what Rome calls the Mother of God, and pagan Rome calls Queen of Heaven, and Catholic Rome calls Queen of Heaven. She has a flag. It's all blue, and it has a round circle of stars on it. Look at their coinage in this country, too. It sports the Pope's image on one side and a woman riding a beast on the other. You know, it's almost as if they're flaunting their physical powers as well as their spiritual powers before the universe. Anyone that has ever studied prophecy knows the Pope is the puppet of Antichrist himself. And all children of God know full well who that woman is on the beast and who she represents in prophecy. It's evident now that Rome is boasting that they feel they have so much control over the minds of the masses that blunt prophetic facts such as these are going to be missed by most anyway, so let's go for it. Rome has doctored so many Bibles and twisted so many scriptures and lied to countless millions that these people truly have no clue as to what's happening right before their eyes. There truly is a famine in the land for the Word of God, as the prophet Amos warned. Only a small remnant can see this plainly now, and Rome knows this. So they flex their muscles as a show of intimidating force, proclaiming that they have more in their camp than we do in ours. But I would like to echo the words of a prophet who said in 2 Kings chapter 6:16, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." You know, only one-third of heaven fell. That means two-thirds are with us. Plus, to top it off, we have a mighty and wonderful God that fights for his chosen few. So I say unto you, Rome, go ahead, flex your muscles as did Goliath, and you will see the Lord send many of the meek to confound the mighty. You parade before the world, for they shall have angels from on high walking beside them the entire way. Almost daily, we see laws being passed that chip away at the freedoms as we as Americans enjoy, or any other country. You know, before you know it, Sunday laws will be enforced. Many mainstream preachers have been constantly keeping this topic before the ears of both Congress and the Senate for obvious reasons. Anyway, I mean, this is one of the main reasons this is going so smoothly for these governing agencies. And as is always the case, laws like this can't be passed as easy as others, so, you know, because a general uproar will no doubt be the result. So, I mean, come on, you got the atheists to contend with, as well as religions that don't embrace Sunday. And, of course, you have Jews, as well as Sabbath-keeping Christians that won't much care for it. So what are you going to do? Well, you need to invent new reasons to rewrite laws, kind of like what we see with the Patriot Act and all these other inventions, you know. We need to do this, and so we need to get the American people, or any people, to allow us to do this, scare them into it. You need to invent reasons to rewrite laws, or you need to find situations that appeal to the people regarding their almighty dollar. These laws are, in fact, being passed, either by clever methods of deceit or by simply using force, as we see in some countries. Or, as is apparent here in the USA, many mainstream so-called Christian leaders will be shouting for the government to help the church enforce Sunday keeping, just as Rome did in the past. So, yes, in some areas, people will clamor to this Roman Sabbath as if it's some biblical necessity. You know, for example, again, Harold Wenzel said, he's the editor of Christianity Today, in May 7th of 1976, he says, all gasoline stations and restaurants should close every Sunday, and it should be done by force of legislated fiat through the duly elected officials of the people. In Mansfield, the Reverend Mark Detmer, senior pastor of the First Church of Nazarene on Straub Road, and many of the 130 members of his church are among those conservative Christians who would prefer to see stores closed on Sundays in deference to the Sabbath. Associated Press reported in Salt Lake City, a Mormon church authority called on members of the to boycott Sunday shopping as a way to force community-wide obedience to the, what they call, Fourth Commandment that God gave Moses to keep the Sabbath holy. You know, that Fourth Commandment starts off with, remember the seventh day. Why do you suppose an almighty God, who has created all that is seen and unseen, including language, would use a word like remember? Because he knows we would be taught to forget it. That's why you see the grand majority of people keeping Sunday. And that's why he said, remember the seventh day. Listen to this invitation that was put out by the so-called Reverend Roger. And that bothers me when I don't like using the word Reverend, because the Bible says, Reverend and holy is my name, saith the Lord. And so I don't, it just bothers me. So anyway, his name is Roger V. Kavam. It's K-V-A-M, pastor of the First Presbyterian Church in Quincy, Massachusetts. He says, you are cordially invited to attend an ecumenical rally for the purpose of keeping Sunday as a day of rest for the working citizens of our nation and for our blood-bought liberty to worship God on that day of the week. Well, who's stopping you? You know, just because these pastors are so weak-kneed that they can't go out there and evangelize their people to get them into churches, they got to have laws to enforce them to get to church? Absolute power corrupts absolutely, folks. Rome knows all about that. This last one is from Pat Robertson in his book, The New World Order, page 233 and 236. He says, without saying so explicitly that the Ten Commandments set the only order that will bring world peace, the next obligation that a citizen of God's world order owes is himself. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy is a command for a personal benefit of each citizen. Well, I agree, Pat. Problem is, Pat considers Sunday to be that Sabbath. And then Christians, now this is what the Pope said. during the Monica Lewinsky situation, he slides underneath the door of every church this thing called Dies Domini, and on page 112 it says this: Christians will naturally strive to ensure that civil legislation respects their duty to keep Sunday holy. In other words, force them to do it. There are literally thousands of articles on the Internet that echo these very same concerns. Even the so-called Sabbath-keeping SDA Church is joining this bandwagon lately. The General Conference Ministerial Association was documented as urging Seventh-day Adventists to keep Sunday in a fairly recent book called Confessions of a Nomad, published by the SDA Ministerial Association through the Pacific Press. The book actually instructed their readers that Sabbath keepers can only find rest, refreshment, and strength by keeping Sunday holy. I carry the entire article and many more of that, of course, on my Attacking Sabbath page in the warning sections of the website. I've also learned there are Sunday-keeping Seventh-day Adventists in other countries as well, right here in the USA, in the USA too. In Nevada, for example, the pastor of the Las Vegas Mountain View Seventh-day Adventist Church thought it was a good idea to do as did Rome in her infancy. The pastor, Tim Dunfield, decided to mass mail all the residents in the area to attend Sunday worship services in his Seventh-day Adventist church so as to pull in the Sunday keepers. He bowed to error, as did Rome with the pagans, in the hopes of bringing Christ and his truth to them. I mean, it's just like Rome did. We can't appeal to the pagans, but if we start doing pagan things, they'll come into our church. You know, what's even more amazing is the Adventist Review thought it a good enough story to promote, so much so it's a permanent feature on their website. And to further lend injury to error, this Seventh-day Adventist pastor coordinated a similar event in Berrien Springs, Michigan, while he attended the Seventh-day Adventist Theological Seminary there. You know, from what I understand, other Adventist churches are now following suit. What's going on? Well, it's the age-old adage. If you can't beat them, join them, I guess. I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So, since the laws are being passed and the so-called Christian leaders are agreeing with them in all denominations, including the Sabbath keepers, is this movement becoming a global effort? Is there already talk of a global Sabbath or a world Sabbath? Well, headline, World Sabbath Considered. This is out of the Detroit Free Press, January 25th, 2001. It says, it's so dangerous when people are divided over language, ethnicity, and religion. Hakashima said Wednesday. His parents and six siblings were killed in Rwanda's 1994 civil war, and he subsequently devoted his life to promoting peace. People need this world Sabbath. The world needs it. And then From the Brook, that book called From the Brook, or no, I'm sorry, it's a magazine, July-September issue, 1998, volume 4, number 3, it says the Pope is calling for global Sunday observance. Actually, I got that quote in other places as well. Anyway, for more information, just type global Sabbath in any major search engine. I use quotation marks, by the way, to focus the query. And you will see literally over 200 pages if you put global Sabbath. Now, I typed Sabbath laws as well, and I found almost 3,000 pages, or something like 2,880 pages, talking about Sabbath laws. The powers that be are flooding the media, the airways, and the Internet with all sorts of suggestions as well as case studies on Sabbath laws that have been passed already. Do you think this will make Sabbath keepers and even some Adventists appear as a danger to their cause and worthy of intense persecution? I mean, do I have to even suggest? I mean, well, headline, Sudan. Crisis deepens as Adventist churches are destroyed. Seventh-day Adventist churches in the Abu Gharajil and Jaruf districts of the Darfur region of the Western Sudan have been destroyed. During the escalating humanitarian and security crisis unfolding there, church leaders say, our members have been displaced. They are without food, clothing, or shelter to sleep under, reports the district leader for the Adventist church in that area. In spite of their difficulties and constant threat to personal security, the members are eagerly gathering for worship services. Since the forest there is not too thick, they find it difficult even to shelter under the trees for services. Instead, they prefer to worship in the evening when the sun goes down, because during the day you cannot bear the hot sun. In general, all internally displaced people are living in miserable conditions, having lost all their belongings and all their livestock, except for one or two starved donkeys. Crops and houses have been burned down, and agricultural land is inaccessible due to insecurity. That's out of the Adventist News Network, June 1st, 2004. My question remains, and it'll never change. For all those that still scoff and say Sunday laws will never come to be, and say that this prophecy that we proclaim is bogus, it's not going to happen, we're all down a quart of brain fluid, or we're a bunch of cultics or something, you ignored the blue laws of the Roman Catholic President John F. Kennedy in 1962. You ignored the U.S. government when they stated that they were going to, and they did, force all car dealers from buying and selling on Sundays back in the 80s. You even ignored the laws in Rhode Island that prohibited work on Sundays without a work permit as of January 1st, 1999. You ignored, next, the Sunday laws in Tutamunga, Africa, in the year 2000. And yes, you even ignored the fact that Virginia passed laws, supposedly by mistake, in June of 2004 that prohibit buying and selling on Sundays. And now, September 15th, you have yet another opportunity to ignore a prophetic fact again. I ask, how many times must they do exactly as prophecy said they would do before you realize they are doing exactly as prophecy said they would? How many times? You know, when Jesus warned those people that were in Jerusalem 40 years in advance, he says, when you see the abomination of desolation surrounding the holy place, those who are in Judea to flee to the mountains. When he said, you see that, flee to the mountains. Get out of that city. They only had one prophecy, more or less, to watch for in their day, for that particular situation. The Christians. And Jesus even said, let the reader take note. In other words, study your prophecies. He also said, by the way, that you better pray it doesn't happen in winter or on the Sabbath day. Which means, 40 years after I die, resurrect, and ascend, you will be keeping my Sabbath. Because I am Lord of that day. He is Lord of the Sabbath. He said you would still be keeping it. If they ignored that prophecy when that city was surrounded by Rome and then burned to the ground, I wonder if Christianity would have moved on from that day forward. Because there were a lot of Christians in Jerusalem. And they were indeed surrounded by Rome in 70 AD. And it did, in fact, burn to the ground. Jesus said, not one stone will be left upon another. Why do you suppose that was? Did they use an atomic blast? No. Then how is it the temple was torn apart where not one stone was put upon another? Well, common sense, folks. Every one of those stones had gold inlaid. So the soldiers took that building apart stone by stone to get at that gold. Jesus doesn't have to explain. He just has to prophesy. You know, it kind of makes what we see happening now, I mean, all these prophetic events, all these prophecies happening exactly as these nutty Sabbath keepers have been saying for over 150 years, kind of makes all those people appear a little bit more trustworthy now, doesn't it? You know, one of my favorite verses of all time regarding this type of situation that I would feel is rather pertinent at this time, and I like to post it on the website in numerous places, is John chapter 14, verse 29, where it says, and now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you might believe. Well, people, it's already come to pass in numerous areas worldwide and quickly gaining ground across the globe. Will you wait till it comes to pass in your neighborhood? If you do, it's going to be too late. Well, it looks like we're out of time. So this is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministries signing off for this week. Stop by the website for all that I shared here. It's at remnantofgod.org. Thanks go out to FirstAmendmentRadio.com for allowing the present truth to be broadcast freely. And don't forget to catch the rebroadcast of the show on Wednesdays and Saturdays. See you next time, everybody. God bless.